Well, welcome to part three in our final week of our series, Friends with Benefits. And if this is your first week with us, we are not talking about what that phrase typically means in our culture. We are talking about the benefit of a good friend in our life. And by way of review, I just have a couple of photos that I want to show you this morning to see if we have been able to wrap our mind around this concept of a good friend. And so it's going to be photos of just two people. And when you see this photo come up, there's going to be people that you recognize. You need to shout out one of two things: friends, if you think they're good friends, or foes, if you think they're foes. And so this first one is going to be kind of a softball, easy one for you. So how about these two guys? What do you think? Who are they? Oh, come on, say that with a little more energy. They are foes. Like, they hate each other passionately. And so Batman and Joker, easy one, softball. Say it nice and loud for this next two pair. All right, friends. Yeah, so if you don't know these guys, Good Burger, it's a great movie, highly recommended, where you can see that these guys are great friends. And I've got this duo for you. Foes. What show are they from? The Office. Yeah, anybody here like The Office? That's one of our favorite shows. We talk about The Office a lot here. And so Michael and Toby do not get along. And now we got another one for you. You're not really sure. Depends on which Rocky movie you watch. And so if it's earlier on, they're foes, but then they become friends. And so we have a new term, froes, for you, okay? So just combination of the two. So they're froes. All right, how about this next one? Key and Peele. Friends. All right, yeah, you know these guys, great comedians. So Key and Peele. And then another one for you. Diamondback and Luke Cage. They are? So you have to read your Marvel comics to brush up to know that these guys are foes, half-brothers that become enemies with one another. And then we got actually three people for this last slide. See if you recognize any of these ladies. Friends, awesome. Yes, you know these three women. So, and they are stars in Hidden Figures, the story about the women behind the scenes of the man who landed on the moon. So great introduction to them. So they are good friends. So you guys got your mind really wrapped around this friends concept pretty well. Even if you haven't been with us, you're picking up on where we've been, friends with benefits. But we're going to move on and talk about a final thought this week as we talk about pursuing what does it look like to explore having a good friend in our life. And we're going to talk about a game that we're going to play together, but I guarantee you've probably played this game, and I guess that it's probably the first game you've ever played in your entire life. It's a game called Peekaboo. Anybody ever play Peekaboo before? So it's a really basic game, you know, where you cover your eyes and then you peek out behind your hands and you either say peek-a-boo or you say see me. There's two different phrases that I've heard different players play. It's not a game that's on ESPN yet. It's not an Olympic event if you've been watching the Olympics, although I'd rather watch peek-a-boo than curling. Oh my goodness. But if you forgot how to play peek-a-boo, that's simply how it's played, but you typically play it with young children, and young children think that if they cover their eyes, then that they're invisible to you and that you can't see them anymore, and they peek out behind their hands. If you up your game and step it up to another level, you can hide behind a wall, and that little kid that you're playing that game with thinks like you've been transported away to another world, but then you all of a sudden show up again and say peekaboo. You can play this over and over again, but the thing about this game, peekaboo, is you don't play it anymore as an adult. At least with other adults. I mean, when's the last time you texted your buddies and said, hey, you know, cigars and BYOB tonight. By the way, awesome game of peekaboo coming. It's going to be lit. And you like send a little fire emoji along with it. You know, peekaboo is getting built up for that event. You know, we just don't play peekaboo as adults. But I do wonder if you actually play peekaboo more than you think. You know, past your toddler years, into your teen years, and even still as an adult. And it's not that we are hiding our face anymore, but we're hiding the real me. It's we're hiding our thoughts about life and our feelings about life, and we're hiding who we really are inside. And as adults, I wonder if a majority of us play peekaboo. And we cover up, and we don't want people to see who we really are. And that's what I want to challenge you to do today. I want to challenge you to have someone peek into your real life and to know the real you. See, so far in his Friends with Benefits series, if you've missed the first 2 weeks, what we've talked about is the reality of friendships was it was God's design from the very beginning. Even before the world was broken and messed up, God created us to be in relationships and friendships with one another. That's the way we were wired. And it's a good thing for us to be in friendships, and it's a bad thing when we're not in a friendship. And then part two, last week, we talked about the different ingredients of friendships. We talked about friends that are going to stir us up in different directions. They're going to either stir us up in a direction to be more loving and do good works, or they're going to stir us up in a direction to run the other way and away from God. And we talked about what kind of friends are we stirring ourselves up with. And this morning, we want to talk about how do we create an environment that's a safe place to be who we really are. You know, the buzzword of the day is authentic. You know, just be authentic. Be the real you. Don't fake it. And that's what we're talking about, is encouraging one another. Let's be authentic. Let's be the real us with other people. And my guess is that sometime in your life, you've probably been able to be the real you. You've been in a relationship where you were comfortable telling people your thoughts and your feelings. But at some point in that relationship or some relationship, something probably broke down and a trust was broken. And you might have walls that have been built up in your life emotionally, where you don't want to really be the real you anymore in certain friendships. And why is this? I think it's this phrase, it's a really common phrase. It says, trust takes years to build, seconds to break, and forever to repair. You know, it's like a house of cards. You know, imagine building a house with cards and how hard that would be to do, but with just one breath, the whole deck of cards and house of cards is gone. That's like trust. That's the concept of trust. And when trust is broken, it not only just impacts that relationship, but other relationships as well. And there's always a consequence to that sin, whether we've committed that sin or that sin has been committed against us. And the consequence in friendship is that it's a breakdown in community and a lack of trust. And it's a barrier that is now introduced, not just in our relationship with God, but also in our relationship with other people. And peekaboo starts to take place in our lives. But peekaboo is actually an ancient game. If you grab the Bible on your way in from the back, we always have Bibles here for you to borrow. If you open up to page 2, that's where we're going, just the very beginning of this story of God. And we're going to look at peekaboo being introduced into the Bible for the very first time. We talked about Adam and Eve in week 1 of the Friends with Benefits series, and we're going to talk about them again this week, and we're going to see where life took a turn from this great relationship that they experienced. They were unreservedly unashamed while they were with each other, and they walked openly with God and with one another. And it says this in chapter 2 of Genesis 2, verse 25. It says, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So we're introduced to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This was the first nudist colony ever. Anybody here ever been to a nudist colony? Don't want to admit it here in church if you have been, maybe. But let's talk about, instead of a nudist colony, maybe a toddler who is taking a bath. If you've ever been a toddler who's ready to take a bath, they are unashamed about being naked and jumping into that bathtub. They'll run around the house like a warm-up lap to get into the bath. And you know, that's just like how carefree they are about being naked. And that's exactly the way Adam and Eve were. Maybe not exactly, but close to it. And they were that unashamed of being with one another in their nakedness. But not just physically. It says there that they felt no shame. Meaning even spiritually and emotionally, there was no shame when they shared life with one another, their thoughts and their feelings and their emotions. But in Eden, there was no, you can't see me. There was no covering up. There was no hiding, no shame between Adam and Eve. But things took a turn. If you know how the story goes, if you don't, we'll fast forward a little bit to the next chapter in Genesis 3, verse 7. Because sin entered the picture and it changed everything, literally everything, from the hardening of the ground to the hardening of people's hearts. Sin has tainted the entire world. And it says this in that part of the Bible. It says they realized that they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And there we are introduced to the very beginnings of peekaboo. Let's cover up. And as soon as they sinned, they started to cover up. And not just their physical bodies, but the insecurities and the shame and the anger that they had towards one another, the guilt that they felt, the shame that they carried. was not only towards one another, but also with God. Because the story about their relationship with God goes on to say this in verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day. So God's coming. And what did they do? It says they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. See, before they sinned, they literally took walks with God. But now they are hiding from him, scared of this father. What is he going to do once he finds out that we have sinned? And because of this sin and brokenness that has now come into the world, they are skeptical of God. They question his goodness and his love for them. And the reality of sin coming into the world, it not only breaks down our friendships and Adam and Eve's relationship with one another, but most importantly, their relationship with their Heavenly Father. And that's the worst thing that has happened because of sin in our world, is that we are disconnected from God because of the reality of sin and brokenness in our life. United Church exists to help people connect to God. And thankfully, we can confidently say we can help you be connected to God because of Jesus. God sent a remedy that we sang about this morning in sending Jesus Christ to this earth, to this broken world, to this sin-filled world, to bear that sin upon himself, to be able to forgive one another. And that's what we are most excited about, is seeing people be able to be forgiven of their sin and come into a relationship with God. But as we move forward in this series, Friends with Benefits, we've been focusing more on the horizontal relationships, not the vertical one with God, but the horizontal one with the friends that we walk through life with together. Because they help strengthen, ultimately, our walk with God. And Jesus not only came to pay for our sins and reconcile us to God, but he also did that so that we can be reconciled and in right relationship with other people. But the problem is one of sin. And it doesn't matter what age we are, we all experience this. So what happens when people sin against one another? We are broken. We're broken. We have walls of trust and walls that comes up that are barriers. I was introduced to a couple years ago, years ago, they were newly married. And so when you see that newly married couple and you ask them, how is marriage going? You typically expect to hear a positive answer, something that they're excited about. And so as I talked to this husband, he said things were not going well. And says, as he started to tell me their story, they had maintained a relationship of purity up until their marriage. And so they were completely pure until being married. And that first night, when his wife asks him, what do you think, speaking of her body, he says, okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's like the awkwardness of, should I even have laughed at that? Because we shouldn't. Because that one moment, trust was built over years, and in a second it is broken, and in a lifetime it will take forever to repair. She is no longer the same woman she was. This man that pledged to protect her, to provide for her, to care for her, broke her in one stupid, idiotic moment. And their marriage was over before it even started. It didn't last. And people wondered, why won't she let other people into her life? Pastors, why can't we help? She doesn't let us help her. Well, because when you break down one wall and when trust is broken in one relationship, it creates a wall around you. You no longer trust anybody anymore because of one person. And so we don't feel like the world is safe anymore because of just one thing between one person that happened to us, and now the entire world is an unsafe place. See, when you get hurt in life, whether it's from a parent that ignored and neglected you, or an adult that abused you, or a friend that betrayed you, your hurt goes much further than just that one relationship. It affects every relationship that you ever have again. Because of that, we don't let people in, and we play peekaboo. We don't trust anybody anymore because we've been sinned against, and maybe we've been the one that's sinned against somebody else. And it just makes friendships and this whole friends with benefits thing like, I don't know about that. But here's what you need to know. God understands. He's not coming after you in the garden, hunting you down, angry with you. He's actually coming with understanding in his heart. He gets why you hide. He's not surprised when you hide. But he's calling you to come out of hiding, no matter what it is that you've experienced. Because the story goes on with this simple question and with the story here of Adam and Eve, where the Lord God said to the man, "Where are you?" See, just like a game of peekaboo where that little kid covers up their eyes and thinks that their mom or dad can't see them anymore, when the reality is the kid's sitting right in front of mom and dad, and they open up their eyes and now their mom and dad sees them. The whole time, mom and dad have seen that little child. But when the mom and dad say, "Where are you? I can't see little Toby," or whatever the child's name would be, it's not because they can't see, it's because they're inviting that child into a relationship, into a game, into an interaction of sorts in that moment. And that is exactly what God did with Adam and Eve. When they betrayed him, when they betrayed trust and broke trust with God, God came saying, "Let's play peekaboo. Let's take the blinders off, because I'm here pursuing you, loving you, caring about you. Not here to judge you. I'm not angry with you." That's the kind of heavenly Father we have. And so this question is, where are you? He's not wondering where Adam and Eve are at. He's inviting Adam and Eve back into a relationship with him. That is the amazing love that God the Father has for all of us this morning. That is the grace that he is showing each of us, no matter where we've been and what we've done. He's inviting you back into a relationship with him. And maybe the most important step for you here this morning is to come back to God. Maybe say, "I've never been with God before. I've never been in a relationship." Well, take the first step to be connected with him by trusting in Jesus Christ. And you could do that this morning. You could talk to me or anybody here, maybe somebody that brought you, somebody on staff, somebody at the Next Steps table. We'd be glad to talk to you about what it looks like to start a relationship with God. That's the main reason why we're here. But that relationship will be enhanced and helped with other people. And that's why we're talking about friends. That's why we're talking about the benefit of a good friend, because of all places in this world, the church is supposed to be the one place that's the safest place. Now, your view of church might not be that, and I totally understand that. But if a church is pursuing God in the way that the Bible outlines, in terms of seeking to be a place that is safe, like we're talking about this morning, and honoring and following Jesus Christ, it should be a place of safety. And church is not about having a religious worship service, like just every Sunday morning we show up here and go through the routine of a worship service. If that's all your experience of church is, then you're almost entirely missing out on what the church is actually supposed to be. The church is about reestablishing relationship with God and community with other people following God. It's about forging friends that are going to help you in a healthy environment pursuing Jesus Christ. And that's God's plan for the church. It's not the hide any longer. So I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to come out of hiding? Is this morning the morning, say, "I'm going to come out of hiding"? And if your answer to that is yes, or "I want to, but I'm not ready yet, but I'm leaning in that direction," I have two more questions for you. And the first is, am I a safe person? Because we all probably think that we're a safe person. We live in this unsafe world, but if you were to ask every person, they would probably think they're safe. And so if every person thinks that they're safe, and yet we live in a broken world that has sin in it, how do we know what a safe person is and what a safe environment is? And I have a few questions to help us grow in our self-awareness of, am I a safe person? And your answer will help you know if you're safe or not. And it'll help you be pointed in a direction of what safety looks like. So the first question that I want to ask you is, am I someone that if a person confided in me, I will always keep it between the two of us? So the answer to that depends on if you're not, you're not a safe person. If you are, if you do keep that in confidence, there's safety there. How about this question? Would I listen to someone tell me what's wrong in their life without making me or making them feel worse? Somebody's unloading, sharing the junk of their life, and you just want to hop on the bandwagon. That's not a safe place. Or would I still believe in another person even if they shared a dark secret? You know, they just told you something that is shocking maybe to you, but would you still be for them? Would you still support them and be in their corner? Or would you change? Because that's not safe if you would change. Do I love people enough to challenge them in unhealthy areas of their life? And so do you love somebody enough where they say that they want to pursue God and yet they're in a serious relationship with a person running away from God? And do you love them enough to say, you know what? Like, that just doesn't make sense. Like, you can really only go in one direction. And so choose what direction to go in. Do you have somebody that's willing to tell you that? Or if I'm upset with someone or a group of people, have I ever put my feelings up on some type of social media for the world to see? I think you know the answer to that question. Is that safe or not? If that's true, it's definitely not safe. And Jesus talks about this a lot in the Bible. He even says, like, if you have a problem or offense with somebody, tell them to their face and go one-on-one to be able to talk that through. You don't go on, you know, Instagram or Facebook or wherever it is and just blast away. Like, oh, I never dropped the name. It's like, yeah, but the people that you're friends with know who you're talking about and what you're talking about. And you know what? And now they know that you're not a safe person anymore. And they're not going to talk to you about those things anymore because they don't want to be on your next social media feed when things don't go well. And the last question is, would people who know me know there's nothing that they could ever do to make me stop loving them? Nothing that you would ever do, good and bad, would make somebody stop loving them. See, my guess is that most of us want to be a safe person. A person who can be trusted. These questions are really helpful guidelines to think through. What does it look like to be safe? To be a safe person. It starts with us. So don't start thinking about all the other people outside the walls that we have built in our life and the barriers that we have. Are we safe? So how can we be a safe person? How can we be a safe place? I think the answer to the question is just a simple phrase, speaking the truth in love. Being a safe person, creating a safe place depends on and hinges, I think, on this one phrase and the ability to speak the truth in love. It comes from one of Jesus' first followers who writes in the Bible about what does it mean to follow Christ and to be strengthened in our relationship with Christ. And he says this, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together with every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And the picture of it is his body being strengthened. And the body is God's people, followers of Jesus Christ, who want to be strengthened in their walk with God, who want to pursue Jesus and understand what it means to live life to the full and following Jesus. And the one way to do that, the one phrase right here is speak the truth in love. It's really simple. I mean, think of your favorite TV show. We showed Michael Scott and Toby, the foes from The Office. Just think of that TV show and think about this phrase, speaking the truth in love, and the variety of friends that you can have in your life, or think of your favorite TV show. It probably has these characters. And the first character is the person who's not loving and not truthful. So they don't speak truth and they aren't very loving. And so you usually have to insult somebody to make your point, or you are egotistical and you have to be right. You're unable to apologize. And of course, in The Office, who is that? Michael Scott. Yeah, the boss. Is that a safe culture to work in? Not really. It's an awkward culture. It's a weird culture. It's a funny culture to watch in The Office. But in real life, it's not funny. If you have this person in your life, they don't create a safe, healthy place for friendship to grow. But you could also have the loving person, but they're just not true. And so when there's something that's hurtful that's said, it's like, oh, did I hurt you? And this person will say, no, you didn't hurt me. But inside, they're really hurt. And they're really offended by what you said. They're just trying to be loving to you. And they don't want to offend you, but they're not truthful about their feelings. And maybe they get a haircut that looks really bad on a certain day. And they say, hey, what do you think about my haircut? And you just don't have the heart to say it in you. To be like, it looks really bad. And you just say, it's really nice. I like it. You might be kind and gracious, but you're not truthful at all. You know, the phrase that we should say in that moment is this, that's interesting, right? So whenever you ask somebody for like feedback or input, and they say, that was interesting, you know, like, oh, it's bad. So that's interesting, not true, but loving. But or the other friend that could be, you know, like, I'm totally true all the time. You don't have to worry about it, but I'm not going to love you. You know, I just call it like I see it. I'm just going to tell you the way it is. And that person, you might know them, or you see them in that TV show, that's your favorite TV show, or you see them in your own workplace, your own life, and they call it like they see it. They don't have a lot of friends around them because of that. And so those are the various combinations of what we're not supposed to be that don't create a safe environment. We're supposed to be the combination of truth and love. Loving words that are truthful words combined together to experience a safe environment. And the greatest example of this is Jesus Christ. I know like 99% of the time you drop Jesus' name to an answer in church, it's like correct. Like the only time Jesus isn't the right answer is if you say, who's evil? You don't answer Jesus. Like, I know this is like the answer that we can always expect to hear, but when we think about Jesus, who was a person that was able to speak truth in a loving way, it was him. Now, I want you to go back, before we talk about Jesus real quick, to go back to your high school or middle school experience. Maybe you're in high school or middle school right now, and you think about the groups of people that exist in your school. You know, you have like the people that are athletic, the people that are musicians, the people that are really smart, the people that aren't so smart, and you have different groupings of people that come to mind. There's also groupings of people that might come to mind like the wrong crowd to be in. You know, don't get mixed up in that crowd as phrases related to them. Or this is the person that's going to be voted the most successful person in the other crowd, the good crowd. They're angelic, perfect, can do no wrong. Now, do these people in the good crowd and the bad crowd ever hang out together? Typically, they don't. And yet, when we think about Jesus, he was better than the good crowd. He was perfect. He had no sin in his life. And yet, the people that were drawn to him and wanted to hang out with him were the people in the wrong crowd. You see, typically, bad people, sinful people don't want to be around a good person because it makes them feel worse about life. And yet Jesus Christ had the ability to speak in a way that was loving and truthful, and the people that we would say wouldn't want to be around a great religious leader actually were drawn to him. See, that's what I want for my life. That's what I want for United Church. I want us to be so loving and so truthful about this life that I want us to be able to pursue purity in Jesus Christ and be the purest people that we can be in following after him. And yet, at the same time, have the worst people of the world be drawn to us and feel comfortable around us. Why? Because that's a mark of a person who follows Jesus Christ. If that's what Jesus did, that's what his followers should emulate as well. But this is not easy. See, because we want to be loving, but there's just times in life where we get offended or we get angry or we're hurt and it's hard to love. Or we know we need to say something truthful in a certain moment, but it's awkward to say that hard thing. It's hard to say. I mean, think of your own life, of a moment where maybe somebody who has been a close friend to you or a family member has been able to say something to you that was hard. But you received it because you knew that they loved you and they wanted the best for you. Have you ever experienced that in your life? I hope that you have. I hope somebody's been able to say something direct to you, truthful, that helped you reconsider something or a decision you were making in your life, and you knew at the core that they cared about you. And if you haven't experienced that in your life yet, I hope you can here at United. I hope you can make a friend and build a relationship and a friendship where somebody is able to do that in your life. See, that's what it means to speak truthfully in a loving way. Am I a safe person? That's the most important question of the day. Are we safe? Are we around safe people? And the second question that we're going to wrap up with is, am I willing to take the risk to develop a genuine friend with a safe person? Or genuine friendships with some safe people? See, this requires us to take a step out of our comfort zone. See, life can be comfortable by ourselves, but it's not how God always intended for us to live. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus is often calling us to take a step out of our comfort zone. And so maybe if you're thinking about starting a business endeavor, you know that to start a new business requires, you know, laying down of maybe a steady income and sacrificing money to start a new business that you don't know will succeed. That's a huge risk. Well, in a similar way, stepping into a new friendship, making a new friend can be a risk as well. You're laying down comfort to open up and stop playing peekaboo and start letting yourself be known to other people in your life. See, to make a real friend has a real risk. But are you willing to open up as you follow Jesus Christ to somebody else? And Jesus calls us into new territory all the time as we follow him and to overcome fears and get out of our comfort zone each day. But there's something really important that I want to make sure you understand that's not what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about like, hey, just share everything about your life with everyone. That's not what I'm saying at all. Don't bare your soul with anybody who asks. If you're at the grocery store this afternoon, you see somebody from United there and you're like, hey, how you doing? How's your week been? Don't start to like go into like crazy talk. Like, oh, you know what? It's been a rough week. I had a doctor's appointment and I learned I had irritable bowel syndrome. And not only that, you know, my stomach's been acting up on me. It's my wife's time of the month. My oldest kid's going through puberty and got really bad BO. And oh, you know what? Hold on a second. I got to go to the bathroom. You know, not a number one, but a number two. And you're like, whoa, TMI, too much information. Run away from that person. Don't be that person. That's not what we're talking about this morning. All right. Don't tell everybody about everything. Take steps in a friendship. Share some real stuff after somebody who's proven that they're trustworthy to share stuff with. Share cautiously. I would share cautiously. It's wise to start slow in a new friendship and wonder if you can trust this person. So how can we know if we can trust somebody? And I just want to drop another real quick phrase from the same guy that we mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul, who writes in another book of the Bible. It's in Romans 12:15. And he just says this real simple phrase where he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And I think this phrase is really helpful in helping us know who we can create a safe environment with. Because when you have something that happens in your life that you're rejoicing about and you're celebrating and you've accomplished something and people rejoice with you and they're excited for you and they are pushing you forward to do even more and greater things, they're rejoicing with you. That's a safe relationship. But when they're jealous of you and they're annoyed by your success, that's not a safe relationship. That's not a safe person. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And then the next phrase is mourn with those who mourn. And so when you go through the challenges of life and the hardships that come our way, because as followers of Jesus, we're not averse to challenges. In fact, we will have them. But will the people that are walking with us, will they mourn with us in that moment? Will they mourn with us and weep with us through that challenge? Or will they have some private satisfaction that you're going through that? Or maybe you made a bad decision and they're feeling like, I told you so in that moment. That's not a safe friend. If you share something personal, do you start to worry if that person is going to tell somebody else? It's just like red flags. Like, no, that's not safe. And that's not how we do friendships here at United Church. See, how people respond to your joys and challenges in life should clue you in to the level that you can trust people. But take a step. Take some step into the community that God made for you with other followers of Jesus Christ. So maybe you're seeing, okay, you've heard all three of the friends with benefit teachings. You're like, all right, I know that I need some friends that are following Jesus. I get it now. But where do we start? You find the safest place on earth that you can find. And of all the places in the world, the church should be that place. We are starting a new church here that's 4 months old in Owings Mills. And from the beginning, as we talk about friendships, we're making it clear, like, safety is one of those priorities for us. For people to know that they're going to be cared for no matter what they do, no matter who they are, no matter where they're coming from. But we're going to encourage you to stop playing peekaboo. To be the real you with other people in the context of friends that God has for you. So take a step. Amber mentioned the Connect card this morning. We talk about it every week. All of us fill out a Connect card. And the easiest step that I can encourage you to do here at United is just step into a group experience with other people that are in the same line of thinking. Like, yes, we want to pursue this type of community together. We want to follow Jesus. Or maybe, like, I don't even know that I want to follow Jesus, but I have questions about him. Well, groups are a safe place to go and build some friends that might help you with some of those questions. And again, this morning we have the list of groups under your seat. You could take a look at what groups are offered, when they're offered, what kinds of demographic breakdowns there are. But we encourage you, some type of group. Even if you're like, you know what? I'm not going to do United group. Can I do some other type of group on my own with other Christians? Sure, I don't really care. Like, just find some Christian friend that is going to be a safe person for you to connect with, that's going to stir you up to love and good works, help you move forward in your relationship with Jesus. I could care less if you join a United group. But this is our effort to help you take that step. And so the question is, will you take that step to get around some other people, to join a group, maybe just to stay a little bit longer and start meeting some people in the lobby, to volunteer here on a Sunday morning? Just meet people in a safe place. Because God wants for you to stop playing peekaboo, be your truest self, and be welcoming to other people that are doing the same step. And that type of community is the type of community that attracts other people to God and helps us move forward in our walk with Him. Let me pray.